Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in video land. It's Living and Thriving time, and guess what? I'm Rusty. Today is my favorite day of the week. Actually, every day that ends in Y is Y, because every day is a good day, and I get an opportunity to be a better version of myself every morning that I wake up. Living and Thriving time, that's what this is all about. I'm here at the Portsmouth Book and Barn, located in downtown Portsmouth, New Hampshire. As you know, I spend my time traveling in the summer, and this happens to be where I am today. So I want to give a big shout out to Portsmouth Book and Bar for allowing me to host the radio show here. Of course, I love books, and of course, I love my Jameson. So where else would I be? Reading with a Jameson. It's raining out. Oh my God, it's so cold up here. And I don't have a winter coat anymore because I live in Florida. Go figure. Today, I am super excited to have Bob Doyle as my guest. He's known for many things, but he's known to be the kind of guy that you want to get to know because he's got so much to teach you and guide you, and he's just an all-around kind of good guy. So I'm really looking forward to pulling him on. Don't forget, 3 o'clock this afternoon, God knows where I'll be. I could be in New York by then, and I'll have another show. So don't forget to tune in. Set that clock, timer, whatever it is that you do. And for those of you who sneak me in at work and usually get to chat with me, I don't have my laptop. Sorry about that. So no chatting today, but you can always email me or leave a message in my blog talk messenger and I'll get back to you. But let me pull in Bob Doyle because I'm super excited to finally get to talk to this fella. He's just superb, fabulous, and he has his own YouTube channel. You've got to check it out. Go to bobdoyleshow.com/Rusty. Hey, who would have known? He put my name on his show. Oh my God. Okay, knock, knock. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you hearing me?
Yay, high five. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I thought, I didn't know what happened there, but I'm doing well. How are you?
Yep. When I'm traveling, the internet is always curious and more curious by each location. So it's raining here in Portsmouth. We're on a little ocean inlet. And so you just never know. It could snow any minute, believe it or not. But we have you, and you're alive, and you're here. Oh, actually, there was a huge hailstorm when I lived here many moons ago, July 8th, and it was called
wow.
A size ball of hail. We're sitting out on the beach in our shorts.
We've got
that's why
no
I live in Florida now.
Here.
We just have to worry about tornadoes.
Yeah, no, we're dealing with 103-degree days here right now, so I don't think it's going to snow here. That's just an uneducated guess. I'm no meteorologist.
You're not. No, but you're the kind of guy everybody wants to know. So tell us who you are, what you do, and what inspires you to be you.
Well, first of all, that's such a fun way to be introduced. I don't think anyone's ever said that before. The kind
yeah.
of guy that people want to get to know. That's just...
Absolutely.
I think I'll just put that on a t-shirt. Hi, I'm the kind of guy you want to get to know.
You want to know. Exactly.
Yeah, so you know what? Maybe you better ask the last part of the question again, because I feel like I could either talk for an hour and you'd have to say nothing, or we can segment it a little bit.
You know, I like this open relationship. So the way I run this show is you and I are sitting on the couch having a coffee or a cocktail or whatever, and we're just getting to know each other. So if you're going to be chatty Kathy, you go. I'm good with that. It's your show after all. So who are you? What do you do? And what inspires you to be you?
All right. So, hi, my name's Bob Doyle. I'm best known, most people probably know me from being one of the featured teachers in the film The Secret. So, clearly, the last 20 years of my life have been, you know, I've spent a lot of time teaching law of attraction principles and creating your life by design, just basically the whole conversation around, you know, living a life you love, secret type of things. But that's just kind of a part of who I am, and it's definitely something that I've struggled with, but it's certainly something I've been up against in being sort of pigeonholed into that identity, just Bob Doyle from The Secret, Law of Attraction Teacher, because, you know, really before I did any of this, who I was more of a broadcaster, right? And so now that's what you're seeing with like the Bob Doyle Show and things like that. It's all coming around full circle, but I've always been sort of a champion of creative self-expression. That's what's always pulled me through my life, is like how, like in my looking for careers that would be fulfilling, they all had to be something where I could express my creativity. And if I couldn't do that, then I would get, you know, I would get bored or frustrated and have to move on to the next thing. So it just so happened that when I had my sort of aha moments around the Law of Attraction, that I got inspired to teach what I was learning through the internet, because I had that skill set from various careers I've had up to that point. I knew how to put together a program, how to do audio, how to do video, and how to communicate. So I just started teaching that stuff. And then I was doing that for about 3 years. The producers of The Secret started to do their thing, found my program, put me in there. And of course, that was a game changer because of, you know, just what that did to my exposure and my business and all of that. So that was an interesting turning point, because that's when I really started to feel more pigeonholed into, well, I better start showing up in the world this way, because that's the expectation of the world. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. But after a few years of that, that other part of me, the more creative, the more silly side, the side that has nothing to do with personal development or helping people even, was just kind of wanting to come back out. I mean, that's the core of who I've been since I was a child, and I always knew I wanted to do that. So I feel like I'd done my bit in the Law of Attraction space, but there's this part of me that's calling back. But every time I try to sort of like walk away from personal development, the Law of Attraction, saying, you know, I've got a body of work out there, I really don't have anything more to say, I'm going to go do this now, I would continually get pulled back into the conversation for one reason or another. So I just kind of had to accept it, and gratefully, that this is a part of who I am. So my challenge became, well, how do I blend all of these things that I like to do and am good at into a career that I love, and that I don't feel like I'm compromising any part of myself? And that's what culminated in the creation of the Bob Doyle Show, where I can still impart these principles, still teach people to live their life by design by introducing other people in, and of course, just teaching what I've been teaching for 20 years, but in the context of a more entertainment-driven show where I can be creative and, you know, push some boundaries and just be silly and express my true self. And then at that point, people can decide, well, I like this guy or I don't, but then at that point, the tribe that I have is more genuine. And so that's kind of my whole philosophy of what I've been up to and who I've been being lately.
What I love about it is the fact that you've gone down this path, you've had these amazing turns, like we all have turns, and sometimes we just go, oh my God, me? Little old me? I do that all the time. I'm like, huh, Bob wants to be on my show? I'm just a little person, you know? And it's like, wow, this is cool. And here's a turn in my past, and what do I do with it? How many times did you experience that, like, deer in the headlight syndrome, where you're like, you're really talking to me? Wow. I find that so humbling, and I find it exciting, but then I find there's a lot of responsibility to be authentic. And it sounds like it was a little bit of a process for you to grow into that.
Like, into the being the Bob Doyle of The Secret thing?
Yeah, like that whole authentic, like, okay, I'm deer in the headlights. This is really cool, but...
Oh, yes, I see what you're saying.
Whoa, pull back, and I've lost myself somewhere.
Yeah, okay, I understand your question. Yes, well, it just, after a while, you know, you just feel it. It starts to show up as sort of depression, or you just kind of have this anger or whatever. It just shows up physically when you're not expressing yourself. And luckily, I know enough to be able to be an observation, to observe that's what I'm doing and not be swept into it. But it was still very difficult to kind of resolve, like, well, this is how, you know, my quote unquote success has been built around being this. And now this is all my perception, by the way. I did not survey every individual on the planet to see what their expectation of me was.
I didn't get their survey. I've gotten into my spam.
Yeah. Nope. It was never
sent. Was it monkey mail? I have a hard time with them.
Yeah, well, I promise you didn't miss anything, but okay. that was sort of my expectation, that they had expectations. And so this journey really for me has been about letting go of all of that. And instead of trying to create a version of myself that will please the most. Just truly just be me. Just truly just own it, because that's the only place I'm going to have joy, really. And like I said before, it's like, so I have attracted whoever I've attracted into my sphere through The Secret and who I've been being up to this point, and they may or may not be my perfect tribe. I want my perfect tribe, right? And so the more authentically I can be me with all the silliness and you know, whatever it is, if people are sign up for that, then I know they're signing up for the full thing. And then we can have a relationship, both professional and personal and fun, for years to come, rather than, you know, let me present myself as this so that I can, whatever, sell a product or get you to do a program or just whatever.
Do you feel like you even have to introduce yourself as, honey, I'm Bob Doyle, I was on The Secret? Like, do you have to say, is that a whole name? Or do you just say, hey, dude, I'm Bob, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, where are you now in that process?
In real life, I really don't. I don't talk about The Secret. I mean, you know, I'm Bob Doyle. I host The Bob Doyle Show, and we talk to people who make the world a happier place. That's my introduction these days. And then if they want more than that, then I can say, well, if you've heard of The Secret, I was one of the featured teachers there. But, you know, I'm trying not to necessarily lead with that, because I don't want to create the perception of that's who I am or whatever. Now, I just want to be clear that I'm super grateful for that opportunity. I'm not trying to disown The Secret or anything like that. I'm just trying to take more ownership over who I really am, because it's such a huge part of my message that you really need to be who you are for the law of attraction basically to work the best, right? You want to define who you're being in the world is way more important than what you think you want to have. And so for me, I want to lead by that example. I don't want to be a leader / guru or whatever, however people want to classify me. And to do that, I have to be a version of myself that isn't fully me. I'd much rather just be me and lose who I'm going to lose and gain who I'm going to gain and have joy in what I'm doing. And I'll have the most impact. You know, it's logical.
All right. So let's break it down into the real basics. Let's go high level 101. Bob, what do you like to do when you're not being Bob Doyle's show?
Well, I love to play in virtual reality. That's a fun new technology that has allowed me to express my creativity in a whole new way. And a lot of the Bob Doyle Show has animations and whatever that I produce on that platform. Playing the ukulele is huge for me. It's been a part of my life for coming up on 10 years. And, you know, I've always been a musician on some level, mostly keyboards and things like that. The ukulele transformed everything in terms of my ability or my willingness to be more expressed and play out in public. So I love doing that. I just love finding all different kinds of ways to play, but the computers and games and all of those things and music, those are my side passions. But like I say, the Bob Doyle Show is my play. It really is. And that's what it was designed to be. It's like, that's where I get to do all the things I really love to do. So it doesn't feel like work. You know what I mean? So that's actually the prize I gave to myself is this Bob Doyle Show, where it doesn't feel like work and I just get to do this, combine all the different things I love to do.
What is interesting about that is many moons ago, I was in a long-term marriage and it was very toxic and I lost who I was as a person and forgot the things that I love to do and wasn't who I am as an individual. And so the last few years I really started rediscovering who I am as a person. And I do this radio show because I love it, and I get to meet really incredible people, and we get to have fun, and it's not a traditional, typical, you know, radio show where you have commercials interrupting you, and you have just real basic, unrealistic conversation. I host it as authentically as possible because I want to get to know who you are as a person, and it's so beneficial, and it opens up so many long-term relationships. I have people from all over the world that I've met, and there's not a couch that I cannot sleep on, and pretty much any country on the planet. And it's bizarre how you open up that line of conversation of just being human and being real and appreciating your flaws and your idiosyncrasies and your quirkiness. And all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of people that are just like you who appreciate themselves. And then it's a whole new level of relationship, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And if there's anything that I want to do as a result of me doing this and putting myself out there is to give people permission to do that for themselves, to be more playful, to be more expressive, to take some risks, This was all part of my journey, taking these creative risks and not worrying about whether or not the technology was going to fail, whether I was going to run out of things to say or get distracted or any of that, you know, and just go out there and be me 100%. And that's what, you know, I am enjoying the response that that is getting. And so I'm continuing to do that and have always, as a coach, obviously, as a coach in the law of attraction space, it's all about getting people to honor who they really are, who they want to be, and owning that and expressing it and getting through the fears and the stops or whatever that are preventing them from doing it.
So let's break it down to 102, class 102. How do you even start this? What was your aha moment where you're like, dude, this works, this rocks, I'm in it?
Yeah, so I had I'll try and tell this story in a short way, but basically, like I said, I was going from career to career trying to find something that would allow me to express myself the way that I wanted to, and I had been in a corporate job for about 4 years, sitting in a cube, just dying, basically. So I quit without a safety net, but I had been studying these principles of creative visualization and meditation and the idea of creating your own reality, trying to learn it so that I felt like I wanted to teach it. I just was inspired by it, but I had not had any good results with it. So I was looking for, what is the missing piece? Why isn't this working for me? You know, I feel like I'm doing everything right on all levels. So there's a whole story about the sequence of events that led me to this, but I ended up finding a book called A Happy Pocket Full of Money, which is a part of my original program that I launched back in 2002, Wealth Beyond Reason. And it was the first book that I read that really, in a clear way, talked about the quantum physics of this, specifically thought, and even more specifically, your limiting beliefs. The idea that your thoughts are not just these things that are impotently in your brain. They are having an energetic impact on what you can and cannot attract into your life. They are creating a vibration that is either going to be in resonance with what you want or resist it. So in that moment when I had that aha, it was like I was able to honestly look at, what are my true beliefs? There's what I'm saying about how I want to be, you know, abundant and I want a career that I love. And then there is an inner conversation about, but I don't think I can do that. Debt is forever. It doesn't matter what these are the beliefs that I grew up with and were wired with. So just facing that and being honest about it and not trying to talk over it, then it was just a different level of interaction basically with my own subconscious that came through that awareness. Then I was able to, that just made things like simple little tools like vision boards and the like work a little bit better for me, because I wasn't blocking this as a real thing. Like, I saw the science of it. I had my own aha. So that was all I needed to do to start to see results with it, because now I wasn't fighting the process energetically with doubt about it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think we do that our whole entire – I think that's the whole human existence reason for being – that's a long way to say it. But I think the whole reason for us to be here is to really come to that conclusion. It's all about fun, and it's all about hanging out in that mental highway and being like, yeah, hey, and waving those negative words and just saying, okay, nice to see you, glad you're there, bye-bye. And not owning them and not owning that insecurity or that self.
Correct. We were never taught to go with the flow, really. It was like, if there's a problem, we got to need to focus on it and make it a thing. And we've learned all of this meaning and all of that. So, you know, and the law of attraction conversation itself got very complicated after The Secret, when, you know, everybody and their son was putting out a law of attraction program, and they were incomplete. Yeah. They weren't accurate. And they were just like, you know, pie in the sky nonsense. And so then what happened was the marketplace was flooded. People tried it. They didn't get results with it because they weren't working with the right information. They got all tied up in techniques and tools and processes, and then it was just confusion. They started to think that it's something they can get wrong, and how do I turn it? It became, in the marketplace, like the law of attraction was a personal development technique, which is not at all what it is. And so marketing really screwed it up for a lot of people. And it made those of us who had been teaching it up to that point, it made our jobs more difficult, and it changed the whole thing. Now we're just debunking myths all the time instead of helping people actually create the lives they love. So that changed
the
vibe.
There were a lot of individuals who came out with kind of this, you know, side parlor, quick scheme ideology, and I think it tainted what everybody in the quantum physics world and quantum leaping world and even the meditation world, it really derailed the meaning behind paying attention to your thinking and owning the feelings behind your thoughts, which is kind of a very easy way of putting it, but it was a very crazy side rail.
The whole thing is, and this is where my attention has been like the past year, and kind of, you know, why we're even having a conversation, is that I personally had a back to basics moment. You know, it's like,
right,
I've been teaching this stuff. I've been in the complexities of it for years and years and years. I've contributed to the complexities because I focused on the science of it for so many years. And, you know, I did that for good intention, because that's what helped me have my breakthroughs. And it was clearly helpful, and it got me into the secret. So there's nothing wrong with that approach, but it does complicate things for some people. And really,
right,
we are, the basic fact is, we're here in order to create an experience of reality that we love. And we're built with everything we need to do it, and it should just be happening naturally. However, years and years and thousands of years and generations, we've been rewired to think in limited ways, and what is possible, what's big, what's small, what's hard, what's right, what's wrong, what's proper, what's not. All of this wiring that has been now, you know, goes generationally and through families and all of this. So now we just have this, we're so disconnected from our creative nature that when it is suggested that we have it, you know, we're not even believing it. We're fighting it. Give me proof. It's like, wow, we have to spend all this time telling you what is true. It's right there, when you could just be, instead of spending all this time trying to figure out why I'm lying to you, spend this time creating a vision for yourself and the feeling that you want to have. That's what this is all about. You know, when we talk about the law of attraction, you hear it all the time, get into the feeling of having it now. That's it. The end. That's the only thing you need to do. The problem is that it's complicated, because we try to get into the feeling of having it now, and all those voices from our past come in and tell us why we can't have it or whatever. We look at our circumstances and we make that mean what's true forever, and that's just not how the universe works. We're creating what we're in right now. We created yesterday or the day before or whatever. We are creating our future with our thoughts at all times. If we had the majority of our focus on exactly who we want to be, exactly how we want to feel, and all of that, that is what we would be experiencing. However, that's not what we're spending most of our time on. We take time out of our day to do a visualization or to meditate or to stare at our vision board. That is not enough energetic stuff to change your future on a consistent way. If you approach creating your life by design with this chaotic approach, and sometimes you're going to just let yourself think negatively for a while, and then the next day maybe you're in a good mood, so you'll create your vision. Well, you can't be surprised by chaotic results, because that is what the universe is aligning with, what you put out there. You have to take responsibility for your own vibration. And so getting back to the beginning of this very long paragraph was, getting back to basics for me meant picking up the book Science of Getting Rich, which is, you know, a very, very old book that I had pretty much just said, well, that's probably just kind of basic stuff. I'd read it, and it just didn't land with any great profound depth for me. But when I picked it up last year, it absolutely did. And it was a wake-up call for me. It was like, this is all you need. If you'll just take this simple book that's been studied, like people like Bob Proctor have been studying it for decades. There's a reason it's been around for so long. But we, again, as human beings, try to complicate it, try to find the metaphor, what do they really mean, and all of that. When if you just read it and do what it says, you know, it will work. And so the approach, the position I'm in now is reading it 20 years later with the information, with the knowledge about the quantum physics and all the other things that I've learned over the past couple of decades. I have a totally different perspective on it, and thus a different way to teach it. So I started teaching it in my group coaching programs, going chapter by chapter, and it just changed everything. It just made everything lighter. It made everything more fun. People got more focused. It was just simpler. We got to let go of all of this other stuff about doing things wrong and just focusing on, no, really, who do you want to be? Let that inform what you want in your life. And just, you know, in the book, they call it thinking and acting in a certain way. You start to do that. It's difficult because we're wired not to. But when you can understand, when you get it, that this is how it works, then your commitment to doing it can increase. But if it all is just theoretical or still sounds new agey, then you probably won't, or you'll give it a try for a day and it doesn't feel good, so you just move on to the next thing. And that's why I'm, you know, creating things that really have people deep dive into this so they can immerse themselves in it on a consistent basis and actually see a result with it?
I think that even with the Tao Ching or As a Man Thinketh or any of those books that we've constantly gone to as a resource, we overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simply put, when we lie on the grass or in a mud puddle or on our bed and we just go, God, this feels really, really good. I really love this. That's all you need. We don't need to be distracted by all of this other nonsense. And it's a world that we've created out of fear and out of greed and out of not having enough people to guide us in the right manner. And I think that there's a large group that's coming out to shine a light on the simplicity of life, because we're supposed to be simple. We're supposed to feel, and we're supposed to have great food and great sex and great conversation and great laughter. I think if you have those four things, your life is fulfilled. That's what we're supposed to be here for.
Those are some pretty yummy things you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah,
so, and
absolutely.
I agree. The whole basic premise of this book really is that the universe, if you will, the languaging is a little bit different. It exists
right.
to experience itself. It exists to experience all this great stuff. We are the physical extension of the universe, which allows it to experience all this great sensuality, you know, the happiness and the everything
mm-hmm.
physical. It wants
right.
us to have the feelings of success and really just getting all the juice out of life. Because think about how good it feels for just us as an individuated little piece of energy to have our individual experiences. Can you imagine the universe feeling everybody's must be really intense. Mm-hmm. So clearly,
I would think that would be like ecstasy or just some sort of nirvana. Like the whole ultimate
yeah.
goal of human existence is to feel what the universe feels from our experience.
I am on board with that.
Knee buckling.
It actually makes a lot of sense. And I think that that's like, I missed
right.
that completely the first time I read through Science of Getting Rich. I just missed that. But I so got it last year, and it was like, yes, because when you get that the universe wants what you want, it wants what you want, then you can let go of this whole deserving conversation, like, oh, I don't deserve it. Deserving does not enter into it at all. The fact that we have consciousness and desires and passions is all we need to know that it's for us to experience. And all we need to do to experience this is we've got the mechanics. We visualize it. We see it. We feel it. And we cause an energetic event. We put energy all over the freaking universe into motion that we can't see, never will see, don't need to see. Right? We don't need to know how it's all happening. We just hold that vision and allow it to come to us. Be tuned into our intuition. Take inspired action when it shows up. Know how to recognize that. It's all in the book.
All right. So, Bob,
I'm
so excited about this conversation. And this is where I get to do a little commercial plug for you. Because, you know, you're Bob. And you're kind of the guy that everybody needs to know. And if you want to use that tagline, just send me a T-shirt because I love it.
Okay.
So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty. Today's Thursday. How exciting is that? It's a rainy Thursday where I am today. But I got Bob Doyle on the phone. So go check him out at bobdoyleshow.com/Rusty. That's R-U-S-T-I-E. If you don't know how to spell my name, Bob, I understand you're giving everybody who goes to that link a free ebook of Science of Getting
Science
Rich.
Of getting
is that
rich.
True?
That's right.
Shut the front door. I'm so excited. I'm going to that link.
And I wrote a special foreword on that book, you know, but it's just like, if you don't have it, I mean, if you don't have it, this is an easy way to get it. Now, if they actually want to see the show, it's just bobdoyleshow.com without the Rusty part. Rusty will get them to getting this free book. If you've lost your copy or whatever it is, this is just an easy way for you to get back in there. And when you get that book, you will also get access to, we're putting together a little webinar, sort of a high level webinar walking through the chapters of the book to give you an overview, kind of a preview of what we do in our full chapter by chapter, you know, program, where it's a deep dive and it's ongoing and support and Q&A and all that. But this will be something that they will have access to automatically by just requesting the book. So it's just something that I just invite people to grab it and read it for exactly how it is. The introduction of the book basically tells you this is not a parable. This isn't, you don't have to figure anything out. This is exactly as written. Do this and it'll work. But people miss that and they're still trying to complicate it, like you said. Like, what does this really mean here? Well, that won't work in today's society. How can I change it?
No.
Right? You can't.
No.
That's not how it works.
All right, Bob, so you've been doing this a really, really long time. You've been on The Secret. You have done all kinds of coaching. You've done all kinds of wonderful things. And, hey, you're hanging out with me today. That makes you extra cool. What are the top five things that you would guide somebody to do to get started?
Okay. So, first of all, the most important step in this that everybody – not everybody, but a lot of people overlook – is deciding who they want to be, not what they want to have. And the reason is because a lot of people are programmed to think that what they want is a certain thing, but it's not really based on who they are. It's based on societal expectations, parental expectations, what they think they should want, what they think society will success is. Or they are focused on how can I solve my problems, money problems, health problems, relationship problems, rather than what do I really want to create. So their attention is in the wrong place. But it's mostly on these external things as opposed to who am I? Now, here's the thing. People will spend years trying to figure out who they are when the truth is they get to decide. There is no preset thing. We have the ability to decide who do we want to be in the world. Are we not happy with how we've been showing up? We get to change it. Will there be some fallout from the decision to change who we're being? Yeah, absolutely. Relationships that have supported your old way of being will fall away, and it's up to you to determine whether or not that's a positive or negative thing. But you can't stay surrounded by the people who know you as the person who you don't want to be, who you're not satisfied without expecting a little bit of fallout. So who you want to be has to be so inspired. You have to inspire yourself with it. Forget about how will I do it? How could I possibly? Do you have the pull? Do you have the call to be a certain person? When you can embody that in your mind, in your visualization, then you can go on to the second step of like, what do you want to have? Or, you know, what is your vision for yourself? But who you're being needs to inform that, not the other way around. Do you understand? Because if people are going after the physical things and the money and all of that, that may or may not be in alignment with who they want to be. But if they start with that in mind, then they try to retrofit who they're being, who would I have to be? It just all kinds of compromise takes place. Know who you want to be. How do you show up? What are your interactions with people? How are you contributing the value that you want to contribute in the world? Get a clear picture of that. I mean, and really, really freaking feel it. Because when you're doing that, you are starting the whole process. You are putting the energy into motion. You're creating that feeling. Remember, we want to be sure that people understand that what's important here is not the pictures that you're seeing, but the feeling that those pictures are inspiring. Because ultimately, we're always going for a feeling, always going for a feeling. You know, and we think that the relationship or the money or the thing is going to give us that feeling, and that's why we use it as a tool for visualization to bring up that feeling. But we cannot get attached to it looking just like that, because the universe basically is a lot more intelligent than we are. It's matching our vibration, which is created by that emotion. So what's going to happen in your life is going to bring you into alignment with that energetic vibration, meaning you're going to feel exactly what you want to feel, the feeling that you created in that visualization, but it may end up looking different, bigger, better, just different. It's for you to accept that what you really want is the feeling, and what it looks like is secondary. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to attract what you visualize. Sometimes you will. Sometimes you have that vision because that is the most efficient way, or it will be the most efficient way for you to move into that, you know, emotional alignment. But other times the universe knows best. We get stuck on old ideas. We think too small a lot. We get attached to a certain person, and then it just slows the process down. We can't override the universe, basically, and have this work efficiently. So let's see. We've talked about who do you want to be, then what is the vision? And now you've got to – now it's just an ongoing process. The idea is that you're being this person now, not waiting for the circumstances to line up so that you can be that person. When you define who you want to be and what your day looks like and the things that person is doing – You'd be surprised at how many of those things you can do right now without all those external things being here first. But the more that you move into alignment, step into being that person right now, without needing the external stuff, the faster the external stuff can come into alignment for you. So it's about diligence. You have to, it's not like, I don't want people to think that the rest of your life is going to be about watching your thoughts, but you do need to, at the beginning of this, you're going through a rewiring process. You have years of biology that you need, that you're changing through this. So your ego is going to fight you every moment. It's going to tell you you're not that person, because it's, the ego is your identity. So it knows very clearly who it is. And now you're saying, I want to become this bigger, better thing. Your ego is going to scream, because that's like you're killing it. So it's going to tell you all the reasons you can't do it. So you must learn to be in observation mode of that kind of response, because it's going to happen, because your ego, that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to keep you comfortable. Growing is uncomfortable, is you're moving through a comfort zone. So learning to be in observation that this is just a feeling that is going to come up. I'm going to continue the action I'm taking. I'm going to continue holding this vision despite these feelings. That is some of the hardest part. So sort of a step four or whatever is to get support. Because if you do not have some sort of support, whether it's a coach or a community or somebody else who is on the same page and can take the same stand for your vision that you do, then it's going to be super easy to bail. Because your ego is going to give you perfectly logical reasons why you can't do this thing. Because it is you, it knows exactly what to say to stop you. It knows the things that will slow you down. It knows what sounds rational and reasonable to you, and it will use them because it's fighting for its life. And if you're not conscious of that, and if you don't have the support to move through it, then you will stop, and you'll feel fine about it, and then you'll move on to the next thing. But I promise you that same cycle will happen every single time you reach your comfort zone. And if you don't know how to observe it and deal with it, you will always be stopped. So the community is one, you could call it a step, and then other sorts of releasing techniques, finding something like an EFT, or it could be meditation even, or hypnosis, or some, any of these things that can help you to do the biological rewiring that needs to take place. So you'll have support with people and community and coaches, but also this tool set that you need. But again, it all starts with, who do you want to be? And make sure that that inspires you, like that you want to create a vision for yourself that genuinely creates an emotional response in you, like you get choked up or inspired by yourself. If you don't do that, you're not thinking big enough, and you will settle for stopping or compromising along the way, and that'll be your ego's way of saying, well, I'm not going to give you the whole thing, but maybe I'll give you a little taste. But that will not satisfy you, and you will not feel that sense of happiness. None of us are going to feel truly fulfilled, regardless of how much money we're making, if we can't be a genuine expression of what is inside of us to be. Are you okay?
So, I'm here. I mute you out because I want to make sure that there's no distraction when you're giving your five, because that is the most valuable tool set that all of my listeners get to hear, and there's distraction when I travel. So,
I got it. No problem.
So, I think the biggest takeaway, at least for me personally, because I like down and dirty, very basic, figure out who you want to be when you wake up. It's not even grow up. I think that's just so yesterday. I'm 43 years old now. I've been probably five versions of myself. This version I really, really like. I love the fact that I don't really have a lot of inhibitions anymore. I'm just like, hey, you don't like me? Good for you. I'm glad I make you uncomfortable. I'm glad I make you think about something inside you that makes you feel uncomfortable, because that means you're growing. And that's the way I look at it. Not necessarily the rule of thumb, but I'm okay with it. And I think more authentic you get, you're just like, hey, cool. And when you wake up in the morning and you say, okay, who do I want to be today? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Like,
yes,
figure out
yes.
how we want to grow. Are we growing towards the sun? Are we growing towards the rain? Like,
I think
do we
just,
want to laugh all day? That's my thing.
We definitely want to be careful with when we get with the languaging around what are we supposed to do, because then people get stuck into, I'm not doing this right. Rather than just letting go of all of that.
I'm sorry.
I'm really just being but it's so easy to get into that language. It's so easy. But it is restricted. And so the more aware we can become around the energy of our words is also very important. Like when we say things that are just, you know, we take it for granted and it's just like we think we're just being honest, but what we're really doing is solidifying a neural pathway of that truth in our lives. I mean, we think it's just a throwaway comment, but we're actually affirming that, oh, I'm such an idiot or whatever, those types of things. Or like, I'm just, that's just the kind of day I'm having, or this, whatever it is, it just reaffirms it. And even though it sounds harmless, it's actually just creating more and more of that as a reality for this person. You must learn to change your languaging because it's all around meaning. Again, we are meaning-making machines. Every moment of our waking existence, we are looking at stuff and interpreting it. We're creating meaning out of every freaking thing we see. Some of it's emotional meaning. Some of it's just like, this is a light switch, you know. But we are making meaning. And that meaning, in some cases, especially with the emotional stuff, it would generate a feeling. And that feeling generates a vibration, and that vibration creates our reality. And we cannot unplug
it. We don't want to get stuck in watching what we say because we're doing exactly what we're trying not to do.
That's right. So it's just about going with again, this has become this mental exercise, and it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, it is.
So it's just about being present with who am I, who do I want to be, and play is a huge part of that. And we don't do it enough. You know, we rationalize not being able to play. We'll play when we have time and all of that other stuff. But if we don't do that, it crushes our spirit. We are playful beings. We are meant to do it. We're meant to have fun, as evidenced by how it feels when we actually allow ourselves to do it. You know,
exactly,
it's a really great feeling when we can have fun without guilt, you know, without all of that stuff, which is, again, all just programmed in. There is nothing true about a statement that says that playing and having fun is irresponsible or any of it, or something that should be, you know, that's what we have to do the least of. What we really need to do is a lot of hard work. All of that is just a bunch of crap, you know, that some people buy into and lead their entire lives with, and other people don't. And that's the thing. You can look out in the world and see people who have a completely different philosophy, who do play, who do have fun, and are still abundant and are still making a difference in the world, but they're having fun. Why? Because they freaking made the decision to be that.
I love you, Bob. I'm just letting you know that. They freaking are supposed to do that. It's like rattling a cage. You're so cute. They freaking... You're not passionate about this at all, are you?
Well, yeah. No, you're right, though. I do a lot of verbal cage rattling.
I love it. But I think we need that because we're so compliant and we're so complacent and we're so much in this fast food drive-through kind of weird world where, you know, we have to work 12 hours a day. We have to give a small peck on the cheek to our kids, put them to bed, give them a bath. Maybe if they're lucky, we might read them a book because we're in such a tunnel. We're in a tunnel vision. And honestly, if everybody were just to lay down in a mud puddle and make angels in a mud puddle, as gross as that sounds to some people, it's so freeing and liberating because, you know what? Be a tadpole for a day. Why not? It's fun. And we've really restricted our way of living to a box. And boxes used to be cool. And I actually, one of my first books that I wrote was about a box. This is like my thing, Bob, where when I was a kid, my biggest play toy was crayons in a box. I could make it into a spaceship.
Uh-huh.
I could make it into a castle where I'd have the handsome prince Sydney with my dragon. You know, it just was fun. I could have it turn it into a car. And then for some reason, something happened in that journey of childhood to adulthood where all of a sudden the box became the place where I had to organize and label and put stuff in and make sure that it was in the perfect order.
Huh.
And I don't know where that transition happened. And I think 99.9% of the humans on this planet, we end up getting stuck in the box and it's no longer a plaything.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, our whole educational system is boxing us. It's all about labeling. It's all about this is your track. This is how we do it as people. This is the way you get successful. This is, you know, there's no room for flexibility or passion or that kind of stuff, or very little. And, you know, and so it's really, it's just no wonder that people grow up the way they do, filled with limitations and comparison thinking and all of it. It's we're wired. It's this, but this computer is potential. It has the potential of creating so much more happiness than it does, and so much more love, and so much more value than it does. And any brain is capable of doing it. But it starts with the vision. Like, what is in? How do you want to change? Why? What will that provide you? How will it feel? What difference will you make in the world? All of these things, you know. But we have to dare to dream that. You know, at first, it's for some people. It's if they've been told their whole life that they have no value. You know, they're not going to see a movie and read a book or even just do one little program and that change. They must be supported. They've got so much rewiring to do. They're going to need encouragement from real live people who believe in them, you know, and they need it set over and over and over again. This repetition, this whole thing about like the science of getting rich, you know, it can be a daily study, because every time you read it, you're going to get it on a different level. And now I understand, like, why people will study this book for decades and decades, because that's now my experience. It's the most dog-eared book I own. I've never been a dog-eared person. I've never been a highlighter person, but this one is filled with stuff, because every time I read through it, I get a different aha. And that's why I enjoy doing the chapter-by-chapter summaries, because it does provide, you know, people love aha moments. It's a good chemical hit. You know, and when they can connect some dots like that and see how it can actually help them change their day so it will feel better, you know, that's super rewarding. It's one of the reasons that I started doing coaching and interactive things, is so that I could feel the reaction and the response from people, because before it was all just digital programs or speaking on a stage or whatever. It's kind of a one-way thing. But now working in a community environments online has been fantastic, and it's just made it's more effective for everybody.
Well, I think it's really exciting. I don't know how old you are, but I'm older than dirt, at least the first layer anyway. And when I was a kid,
you can't say that. Wait, Rusty, you said you're 43. And then you said you're older than dirt.
Do you know how old the layer?
I'm 53.
Do you know how old the first layer of dirt is?
How old?
It's only 7 years.
Put a twist on
it. I did. So, anyway, when I was a kid, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have, like, Pac-Man, maybe Donkey Kong, maybe Atari came out when I was, like, 8 or something. Like, we didn't have half of the technology these kids have. And we actually had to go and build forts. And I have scars on my knees from my forts. I grew up with boys. And my little huffy, pink huffy bike, like, jumping it off because I was badass. I was, like, Jackie Chan. Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, brings back any memories. That was me, right?
Good
time. And totally good times. But I had to think and create and become something new every time I wanted to go outside and play. And these kids nowadays don't have that opportunity unless invited by their parents. I think somewhere we need to do more of that. Like, honestly, not to say that every 40 or 50 year old person should go out and get a huffy bike and build a fort. It won't actually do any harm, right?
It would be great. They'd probably roll their eyes for 5 minutes and then be totally into it for 2 hours. We just have to get past all that. And look, I am famously, the people who know me, I am famously historically socially uptight. You know, I don't like to dance. There's a million things that I get in my head about, you know, but that has also been part of my recent journey especially since reading this book and reawakening to what do I really want and who do I want to be? And why do I have to define who I want to be from this point on just based on who I've been up to this point? I get to decide every single day. You know, it's like so much of this part of the tough part of growth is worrying about what other people will think and dealing with it, you know, and if you can let go of that, that's like a superpower.
Oh my gosh, I was very, very uptight for most of my life. And I started belly dancing, I started finger painting, I started doing new portraits, like just stepping out of that comfort zone and the last 9 years. And it's been very liberating as a person. And I'm like, hey, this world is really cool. Belly dancing is so much fun because I spend the whole time, the entire class laughing. I'm probably about as stiff as a board. But I go every Thursday night. And because it's fun. What kinds of opportunities would you suggest people take up that would be really stepping outside of that? Like
everybody,
fear-based.
I don't like to should. I don't like to shit on people. It's one of my things. I don't like to tell people they should do anything. However, the closest I'll come is saying that I would highly recommend that everybody get themselves a ukulele.
Okay, a ukulele works.
Look, I'm telling you, you scoff if you will, Rusty, but
no, I'm not scoffing. I'm loving it.
Okay, because it's easy to learn. It allows you to express music, which it's in all of us. We all want to do it. The judgment from the outside world is a lot different than people who sit down at a piano. It's portable. You can take it just about freaking anywhere on a road trip or whatever. And you just that having that little bit of music with you to be able to sing a song or whatever. It's like, I talk about happiness hacks. And these are just little things you can do in your life to make it just a little bit better, because we're so overrun with cortisol most of the time. So many of us
are.
Yes, we
are.
And if we can do anything to lower the level just a little bit, it changes the lens through which we see the world. So little tiny things like that. I know that every time I see any of the ukuleles around this place, my mood changes. It just a little bit, but for the better, So it's like surrounding yourself with these little things that make your life a little bit better. Like I talk about, wearing two pairs of socks rather than just one. It's like an extra hug for your foot. It's a small thing, but just that being able to have a different level of comfort throughout your day, it's on a low psychological level, but it's you're better. You're better.
Well, what's fun about that is I used to play the cello and the violin. And my daughter's first instrument when she was about 4 or 5 was the ukulele. And that's why I'm giggling. I'm like, that's like the perfect thing. Because she would jam on that to her heart's content. Like, watch out, Disney World princesses. Like, she had this thing. She would stand on the chair. And like, I have video after video, and it brings me such joy. Because, again, you're right. It's just a little thing to bring you joy.
It's just a happy... Yeah, it's just a happy instrument. But basically it comes down to, honor your creative gifts and do them. Like, a lot of people don't find time for them because they say, well, I'm not making money, I can't make, forget the money. Just do it because it's in you to do, and it doesn't matter how much time you have. If you feel the urge to write or paint or draw and you've only got 10 minutes, then take the freaking 10 minutes. And chances are, the more you do that 10 minutes, you'll find another 5 and another 20 and another 60. Once you start clicking into the value of doing that and how great it makes you feel and how tuned into who you are, but you got to start that, because again, you've got years of wiring that says you don't have time for that. But we all have something inside of us that we want to create, and it could be something like art, it could be a business, it could be any number of things, but we have to start taking action on expressing our creative nature a little bit every day. That'll bring us closer to alignment with who we really are and want to be and what we have inside of us.
All right, my friend, this is the sad part of the show where I have to wind down and almost say, see you later. Never a goodbye, always see you later. But I give you 5 minutes of uninterrupted time to give us your final thoughts, the things that you really feel like people can put in their pocket or put in their desk drawer, label on their mirror, whatever it is that you want to inspire them with. And your time is now.
5 minutes? Ugh, I would have been much more economic with my words before. All right, so it's going to be more or less a recap. But let's just back up in a big picture. Like some of the principles that we talked about are the reason we exist, and this is one way to look at life, is so that the universe, the creative source of all of it, can experience itself in a way that can only be done through being a human being. We're born with all of these incredible gifts, imagination, the ability to take action, passions. We have all of these things, the ability to let go of negative thoughts. All of this stuff is just built into us. We are creative. There's nothing in the world that has been created that wasn't a thought first. So thought is the originator of everything. And when you have the thought and you infuse it with feeling, energy gets set into motion, and the universe literally starts to conspire to work with you on creating that. So sending a consistent signal of what you want to create is basically what we need to be focused on. But we are not doing that. We're focusing mostly on what we don't want. We're putting out fires all of the time. How do we handle this situation? How do we get rid of this person? And so on. And while I'm not saying you don't need to take care of the business at hand, which clearly you do, but while you're doing that, and amidst that, you need to be focused on what you do want your life to be, who you do want to be. You deal with the task at hand. But if you keep focusing on the fact that, oh, there's all this crap going on, you're not changing your future. You're perpetuating your present. You know, you're creating more of it. And if the only time you think about the future is here and there, and it's wrapped around this frustration of I'll never get this, you have to understand that that is sending a creative signal. You are literally creating your future. So while it may seem cumbersome and burdensome to have to think about all that, just realize that that's only because you're wired that way. Right now, your natural state, and this is a generalization, obviously, but is the limited thinking, is it would take a miracle, is all of these other things that we have to, and that's why you see reality the way that you do. But if you can step back and say, but there are other people in the world who see reality and experience reality much differently than I do. They clearly don't live under the same set of rules that I do. You know, so that just shows you it is possible. But what's different between them and you is their persistent way of thinking, their persistent way of feeling. They may not understand the law of attraction or any of what we're saying. It doesn't matter. Their natural state is not one that was wired with so much limitation. They've been inspired to just dream big and live into it and follow their intuition and take action all the time, talk to a bunch of people, all the stuff you got to do. They're putting themselves out there, while other people who have the exact same creative potential by the very nature of being human are not having those thoughts and thus are not taking that action because they're not moving energy into motion that's going to create those situations, create those moments of coincidence, create those aha, those inspired ideas. They're not going to do it because their thinking isn't in alignment with being that successful, happy person. So it goes back to number one, who do you want to be? How do you want to feel? What is, when you think about who you want to be, how much love is there? How much fun? How much play? You know, how much are you expressing your creative nature, all of those things. And then as you visualize that, let the rest of it fill itself in. Like you may find yourself when you're thinking about who you're being, you may find yourself just at a beach or in the woods or wherever, an environment that complements that way of being. So you don't even have to figure out the details because it's really about the feeling anyway. So just know that this isn't supposed to be so complicated. It's a very simple thing. Think, imagine, feel, follow your intuition, go with the flow, pay attention, and just be who you want to be on a consistent level. And this stuff just works automatically. I heard you unmute, so I stopped.
Nope, that's okay. You can keep going. I just wanted to you got like one more minute. So Bob.
Okay. Well, there's really not much more to say. I don't want to put more in there than there needs to be. It's like, you know, we talked about it. I would really invite people to go grab that book and just read it when you can, but really be with it when you read it. Because it will remind you of everything I've said and tell you so much more. And then if they want to explore doing the deep dive, then they can do that when we launch that. But for now, I would just invite everybody to revisit that book and just read it for what it is. And think to yourself, if this is true, what's possible? Is it worth Is it worth me going through the process of getting clarity on this so that I might be able to live the life I want? Because people will just continue to make excuses for not even taking that first step. I don't have time to think about who I want to be. Well, if that is your ongoing conversation, then that will be your ongoing reality.
So let's go even more basic. Let's just say, Bob, that why not just take the first step, go to bobdoyleshow.com/Rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E, download the free ebook. That's the first step.
Yes,
open
the great first step.
Is the second step.
Uh-huh.
Read the first chapter. Take a nap.
Oh.
Read the second chapter. Take a shower.
I like the nap. Yep.
The nap part's my favorite, especially on a rainy day. Read the third chapter. Have some dinner. So, you know, it's really that simple. And I think what I love about you and the work that you do is that it's really very simple. It's not complex. You don't need a rain stick and a drum and, you know, big signs to remind yourself every day to be simple. Just be simple. Take a nap.
Yeah.
Drink a tea. Relax. Just chill.
Play the ukulele.
Get on that level of chill. and get a ukulele. I absolutely love that.
Right.
And so, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. So just go to BobDoyleShow.com/Rusty and download the book. That's your first step. That's your homework until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll want to remind you to do it again. Bob, you have been the best. And, you know, virtual hugs, I'm so grateful for what you do. I'm so grateful for your journey because you really inspire other people to at least stick a couple of toes in the water. And not
so.
The whole foot. And that's what we do. That's what we're here to do, to inspire people to be a better version of themselves, but not with that whole idea that you're trying to improve what you already are, because you're already perfect. We just get our heads twisted.
Yeah, just play. Just play, play, play.
All right, Bob, I definitely hope that you get to come on the show again at some point in the future. I would love to hear about your new adventures. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here today on this rainy, rainy day here in New Hampshire.
Thank you, Rusty. It was my pleasure.
All right. Everybody, it's Thursday. Oh, my God. It's my favorite day of the week. Of course, every day that ends in Y is my favorite day of the week. But today, especially, because I get to bring amazing people for all of you to listen to here around the world. And Bob, he's the kind of guy you want to know. All-around laid-back guy, and he has a ukulele. You can't beat that. And he wears two pairs of socks, which I forgot to ask him about. So the next time he's on the show, we'll have to talk about the sock thing, because I hate anything wrapping around my toes. I like my toes to be free. What does Bob say about that? Hold tight. I bet you he'll tell us next time. Go to BobDoyleShow.com/Rusty to download the book. If you want to kind of hang out with him, go to his radio or his show, BobDoyle.com. BobDoyleShow.com, and you can check him out. He's everywhere and anywhere that you want him to be, because it's all about you and the steps that you take to get some clarity. Until next time, drive 5 minutes slower, sleep in 5 minutes later, hug 5 minutes longer, and if you can get a 5-minute hug out of anybody, you give me their number because I want a 5-minute hug. But just try. Chew 5 minutes slower. It's all about the five. Take the five. Relax. The world is still turning. It's still round. It's going to be round in 5 more minutes. Chill. That's what this show is about. Living and thriving with Rusty. I love you. You're beautiful. Until next time, be well.